Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Not every guest pushes me to go the extra mile. Sam does. So excited to have him in studio. I took time in one of the commercial breaks to make him a picture collage to post on Twitter to promote his appearance. You're welcome.
I guess that's a compliment, but what did you say about Twitter earlier? Twitter's stupid.
I said Twitter is trash.
Twitter's trash, except for that photo collage of Sam Mellinger.
Stupid. Twitter is stupid.
I appreciate the effort and the care.
It's too much, though, isn't it?
But, yeah.
It's not enough.
You know, I don't know if
you deserve
you need to
that.
Do that again.
That was only seven pictures. I can do nine.
Do nine.
I don't know.
Those are all publicly available photographs, right?
It seems unnecessary, guys.
Or very necessary,
well, you figure
if you ask me. Well, he's a producer. What do you say?
I say two more need to be added there.
To me, if I'm on the fence about listening to this segment, I see that, like, I'm tuning in. Here we go. Let's see
what's
what
this guy got to say.
Right.
He's waving at me. He's petting. He's a dog lover.
Right. He loves. They're all the things.
This guy's flexing at me for charity.
Right. You're waving.
Smart button-up suit. Wait,
there's two pictures with a dog. You're very relaxed.
No, I didn't click on the picture. That's even worse. Unless I was like the original. I didn't see the bottom three.
Oh, yeah. The best.
Oh, you bottom, see all of them now.
The bottom
oh,
right's the best.
That's effort, man. I just didn't, you know. Not today. See, oh, look. And there's a little bit of art to it.
That's right. Bottom right was your professional star photograph from years ago, isn't it?
No, that was from a video. Yeah, I forgot what happened there. But I think I made some joke, and it either bombed or I felt good about it, and that was the look I gave.
At SSJWHB, if you'd like to enjoy it.
Or not.
Well,
it's out there now, baby.
So there's lots of things I want to talk to you about with this game.
Yeah.
I started off, and I hate to oversimplify things, but a good way to sum up that game yesterday, one team has Patrick Mahomes, right. The other doesn't, and the team with Mahomes won.
Correct.
In the fourth quarter, and look, many things took us on that path to where it was anyone's game in the fourth quarter. But when you get there, like the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, like so many times with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback of the Chiefs, when you get to that situation and the quarterback, it's all on the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes comes through almost every time with the plays that need to be made, and it puts pressure on the other quarterback. Well, I got to be perfect too in the fourth quarter. And Baker Mayfield, he was terrific for the first three quarters. He didn't come through when he had to and match Patrick Mahomes play for play in the fourth quarter. They had the ball within one score at the end of the game. And any team going into Arrowhead against this football team will sign up for that. I guarantee you. Before the game, if you tell them, hey, we'll give you the football with 2 minutes left, and you got a chance to score and win. Not just tie, but win. Every team in the NFL, sign me up for that one. The Browns had it, and they didn't take advantage of it. Daniel Sorensen got his hands on the legs, on the feet of Baker Mayfield, and he throws an interception. He said he tried to throw the ball out of bounds. Didn't do it hard enough because Mike Hughes gets the interception, ends the game. There's plenty to talk about, but the biggest difference in the fourth quarter, either you have Mahomes or you don't, and if you don't, you go home a loser. The hell out of town now.
So, first of all, I just have to say, one of my favorite things is just sitting here and watching you when you get like that.
Is it?
It's just
people
it's
describe it as
I've been saying it for 2 hours already.
Yeah.
It's like coffee.
I've got lots of energy, yeah. And I'd like to give it to Kansas City if I could.
So that's my first takeaway. My takeaway from the game, you mentioned it. It's the part that game just felt like. Like, the Browns are equipped to beat the Chiefs. Like, they can do it. But that game, the way it happened, it just felt like the Browns were sort of like, oh, my God, it's really happening. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. We're really doing this.
What do we do now? Yeah.
And like, then there's like that meme of Steve Carell in the office. It's happening.
It's happening.
Exactly. And then it's just like one little crack becomes a burst. And it was the Chubb fumble. And then it was the drop punt. You know, and it Chris Jones, like, that's not a coincidence. Like, when in those moments and the crowd gets going like that, that's like, it's like a superpower for Chris Jones. That's like, you know, spinach for Popeye or whatever. And like, it, there's no, I just felt like the Browns crumbled sounds really mean. But I just felt like they were not a match. They did not rise to that moment. They did not rise to that level of pressure. And look, before the game, we've talked about it, and I wrote a column about it a week or so ago. I really do think that the Browns have what it takes to beat the Chiefs. I just think a lot about that offensive line and those two running backs, and they've got some playmakers on the defense. But, God, maybe the Chiefs just have their number. You know, the same way that they have the Bills
and
the
Ravens. If you're
a Browns fan,
which none of us are, whatever, and are you kind of ticked at Kevin Stefanski today? Because in the first half, he was bold. He was doing, in the second half, he's like, you know, it punting and kind of, they were still winning after Tyreek Hill scored the 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah, but there wasn't a human being in that building that thought the Browns were going to win.
I know, but like if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm not dropping back in shotgun on the first down play and throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, they were still running the ball, and I think he got... I think he went back to maybe some old things or whatever, got scared before he probably should have got scared. And that's the great thing about the Chiefs. You make people...
That's exactly right.
...pee down their leg. I mean, you make them do what they shouldn't do in a spot, because they were still winning the game after that play. And he's like, oh, we got to go do something. Well, how about you just keep running the ball? Because they probably weren't going to all of a sudden start stopping the run.
Yeah.
But then he threw back, and then there's a sack. And now you're in long, right? And I thought Baker, probably a poor decision to throw the ball 40 yards on third and whatever it was.
Right.
But Juan Thornhill made a nice play. But their number 10 is not quite as good as the Chiefs' number 10. He couldn't catch the ball. Right. Next thing, now you're punting. Well, you got to catch the punt, the snap to punt the ball, and then the thing's just over at that point. That drive was huge. And I think if I was a Browns fan, I'd be like, Coach, come on, man. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I think what you said is exactly right about like the Chiefs. All 22 players on the field know what the Chiefs can do, that they can get a 75-yard touchdown
like
in 14 seconds. And it would have been faster if Tyreek Hill
had run straight, yeah, right. And stopped and turned around.
That was great. And I do think that puts, like, it changes what you do, or at least it puts some stress on you, and you have to fight through that to do what you do. And the Browns, for whatever reason, I just, the way they were running it, and Chubb was their number one. He's their number one back in general. But, like, I mean, they've also got Kareem Hunt, who runs as hard as anybody in the league. And with that, they've got a way to go down the field against the Chiefs. And this isn't like a keep away from Patrick Mahomes thing. This is how you move the ball against that defense thing. And but it's, you know, it's the old Mike Tyson thing, right? Like, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And the Browns had this plan, and they got punched in the face, and it all kind of blew up. I just, if I was a Browns fan, maybe I'd be mad at Stefanski, but I think I'd be more pissed off at Patrick Mahomes for existing and
there's
having time to kill the
There's nothing you can do
to.
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you'd much rather do it in a 20-minute game. 60 minutes is nearly impossible.
Yes, yeah. We talked about this in the last hour. In Kansas City, who have been Chiefs fans for decades, 100%. Have a special understanding of this, the perspective that is necessary to truly and fully appreciate Patrick Mahomes, because this was the ballad of the Chiefs fan for years and years, going up against John Elway, going up against Peyton Manning, going up against the better quarterback. You'd have things handled for three quarters, for three and a half quarters. Everything would go right. You'd run the football. You'd play defense. Yeah. You'd get some turnovers. You'd make a play on special teams. But then in the final 5 or 10 minutes of the game, Elway or Manning would pull something out of their rear, and then you'd be leaving the game like, we can't beat them.
Yeah.
What the hell can we do? And if you're Cleveland, things went right.
100%.
The script was there. But again, you know, and I apologize for oversimplifying things. The team with the superstar Hall of Fame quarterback won the game because they have the superstar Hall of Fame quarterback that goes out there just when the Browns are feeling it, and the announcer, Jim Nance and Romo Nance is on it, and the Browns have just taken a huge step towards pulling off the upset and getting to win an Arrowhead, and he can barely get his thought out, and then all of a sudden the ball's in the air for a 75-yard touchdown just like that. Just like that. The Browns can't even be happy with what just happened, and then it's almost like, oh my God!
Yeah.
Well, that's when you got to settle down and try to answer, and they—that's when they got. Oh, we got.
It was over.
Yeah.
It was over, and that.
It's amazing that the game was over while the Chiefs were still losing. But that's how you felt.
You made the boxing analogy, and that's exactly right. It was in the 10th or 11th round, and they're outboxing the champ, and they're the most dangerous thought in the middle of a fight or while the fight's going on is to think you got it won.
Yeah.
And then just maybe for a split second, you don't bring your left hand back from the jab and you leave it down, you're open for a punch, and then you get clipped, right? And then you go down, you get up, and you see fighters all the time, they're hurt and they're stunned, and guess what? Like you said, game plan goes out the window because you got hurt and you got stunned. And that's what it was. They got hit all of a sudden. Hey, we got this. We got this. Bam! 75-yard touchdown. And they never quite recovered.
Yeah, there's... I heard, and you referenced it, I think, last hour, Stephen, about there was some talk about the Browns 1 through 53 better roster. And that may or may not be true. But it's the same thing as the Super Bowl 2 years ago. 49ers, better roster, 1 through 53.
What I said earlier.
Not every roster spot is equal.
There's one guy at the top. Remember the Denver game? Of course you do. It was Monday night. Mahomes' first year as a starter. It was the left-handed pass game and you know all that other stuff. And this was the time where we could go into locker rooms, right? And I was just like, I went downstairs, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm more interested to see the Broncos locker room tonight, you know, than I am the Chiefs. And it because of exactly what you're just talking about, and to see it on the guys wearing the other jersey, feeling like that. And I bet you, if we could get into locker rooms, and I went to the Browns locker room yesterday evening, I bet it would have been the same thing. Because those guys have to feel like they blew the game. There's no possible way that you play or work or cheer for the Browns and don't feel like you blew that game. And also, if the Chiefs had, there's 32 starting quarterbacks, if the Chiefs had one of the other 31, I think they'd probably lose that game. Well, or if they don't have, I mean, it's not fair. I always think about this. I'm sorry, Tom, but like, if Tyreek Hill played for a different team, don't you think we'd be like, man, could you imagine if Tyreek Hill
was on this team?
You know, like it's absolutely one of those combinations that just it's
well, the Browns fans have to be encouraged. They can be encouraged that they were minus two in turnovers and they jacked up a punt.
Yeah.
In Arrowhead against the Chiefs, and they had the ball in their hands to win the game.
Sure.
But the other side of it is they still look over and go, well, we just aren't going to have number 15 on our team.
Yeah.
So as encouraged you can be, you're just discouraged, like, because Baker Mayfield's fine. He's a good quarterback. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. They have a lot of good things going for him, but they don't have the final boss, right? They don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Final boss, right.
And that's even though you can be encouraged that, because the old stats of you're minus two and all this stuff, you don't even have a chance to win that game. Most teams, you bring the Lions in here and they're minus two and they jack a snap up, they lose by four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the Browns have a lot going for them, but even with that, they don't have what it takes. Maybe they will in the postseason. I'm not throwing dirt on their grave yet, but they're not ready for this yet.
I feel like the hurdle for them is it's mental. I really believe that. Watching that game, how everything happened, I feel like the hurdle is mental, and I think that's a hell of a challenge. And they like you just said, Todd, like maybe they can do it. Maybe the playoffs will be a different deal, whatever. But
it's that same mental hurdle that we were just talking about. They never really got over the hurdle with Elway, really.
Yeah.
But they got over the hurdle with Peyton Manning.
Yes.
When he went to Denver, finally, they were able to beat him. Now, they still went and won the Super Bowl because they had an amazing defense. But finally getting over that hurdle there, and then when he was gone, it's like the Broncos haven't beaten the Chiefs since Peyton Manning retired.
Yeah.
And he's already in the freaking Hall of Fame.
Right. I think that Baltimore has it, too. I mean, I guess we'll see on Sunday night if I'm right about that. I think the Bills may have it. I think there's something
everyone
about
in the AFC's got a hurdle
playing this team. Yeah. It's like you have to do everything perfect, and not just for 3.5 quarters, or 2.5 quarters, I guess I should say.
60 minutes.
No, 3.5. But then you also have to get some breaks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can do everything right.
Well, the Chiefs didn't make any mistakes yesterday like that. They didn't miss an extra point. They didn't mess up a punt.
What they did, they got bossed around at the line of scrimmage in the first half.
Yeah.
And then after that, in the second half, they just gave up 7 points, right? Just that Kareem Hunt touchdown.
That's it.
In the second half. So, I mean, it's just...
If the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, I don't know who will beat them.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Patrick Mahomes, head-to-head, Baker Mayfield, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Head-to-head, Lamar Jackson, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Head-to-head with Josh Allen,
2-3?
Is it 3-0? Look it up, Pounders.
Two last year.
There's no L's.
Yeah, two last year.
Point is, it's going to be mental for all of them.
There's a long way to go here to get to this again, but the one guy, I know he's beaten Tom Brady, but...
Yeah.
Hasn't beaten him in the playoffs yet.
That's real.
That's a real thing.
He ain't in the AFC, though.
No, he's not, but he's in the big game, probably.
There's a lot of things. Absolutely. That's the final boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the final boss.
Yep.
But the bottom line is this. When you play the Chiefs, it has to be for 60 minutes that you win the game. You can't win the game in 55 minutes unless, of course, Mike Remmers is at left tackle and Andrew Wiley's at right tackle and things happen
and
like they did in the
Super
Bowl.
Name the other three guys. Can't remember their names.
Whatever. You know, Wisniewski and Austin Ryder and
another guy.
Who was the other guard?
Ask Jake. He watched the game.
He didn't watch it.
I didn't know. I didn't watch a second
of it. Doesn't matter who they are. There's five new guys out there.
Yeah. Right. So. Oh, Allegretti.
There you go.
But the point is...
2-0 versus Josh Allen.
It comes down to the very... simple fact that the Chiefs have Mahomes, and he's the difference maker. And again, the Browns, despite dropping the punt, despite turning the football over, they had the ball in their hands with a chance to win it with 2 minutes left. They'd have signed up for it before the game started, and they couldn't get it done, and they couldn't overcome Patrick Mahomes.
How are you doing?
When they had a chance to put the game away. But give them credit. They got that sack. They got the ball back. They did what they couldn't do last year against Chad Henne. They got the ball back. Mm-hmm. But then you get the ball back and you still don't win. Mm-hmm. Back after this on WHB.
It's funny you said that. I literally just saw that. Sometimes it'd be like that is what I have to say. I mean, sometimes you just got to throw it up. He's a little dude, but he goes and catches it, and he's pretty fast, so usually good things happen.
Yeah, it's just Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes. What's crazy is I was in the locker room, and he said, I didn't even see you. I just seen your little hand stick up. I'm like, bro, come on, bro. Come on, man. Like, but I was able to make a play, you know, for the team, you know, when they needed me the most. So
sometimes it be like that, okay? That's what I said.
Can I ask Sam a question?
You know, I'm in such a good mood.
Thank you.
And then you just steal my joy.
No, I was asking about the press conference after the game. I don't know if I've ever been in a press conference where the media and the people on the podium both use an F-bomb. Is that where we are? It's crazy.
It was great.
You know what? It is great.
Yeah.
If more people would just loosen up and use the F-bomb, we'd be happier.
More Tyreek Hill at the podium after games.
Adam Tyser challenged Andy Reid to a fight.
Right.
He was ready. Bring it on,
the business.
We're going to hear from Adam next hour.
I also, Andy also kind of did the new like.
Well, I was sitting down there with Adam. I was almost on Team Adam. I'm ready. I will defend Adam just like a teammate would defend someone
else.
But
Adam would be super scrappy, too.
Yeah, see,
man, I'm feeling fired up, man.
I feel like our role in that situation is to make sure nobody breaks up the fight. Let's just see what happens.
That's right.
The hard part is
nobody jump
down,
in. Okay, when you're one-on-one here.
When you're in the front row, you don't have the high ground. You know,
that's true.
Andy's up on the podium. You don't ever want to have that low ground.
Top rope.
Never had high ground.
It was wild yesterday. I think it's because, you know, we were in the same tent up at camp, but camp is so whatever. And I would have loved to have been in the locker room yesterday, like the actual locker room.
For sure.
That's almost up to SEC standards now, almost. Right. But from the pictures, that locker room would have been crazy. Uh-huh. You thought it was nuts in the press conference room with just what they were saying. If this is the world we're living in now, get the beat machine out. I don't know, man. It would have been something else. It was wild.
Okay, so I want to just run through, and I'm going to throw some players out, and I want you to give me a few comments about each player instead of people have heard what I've had to say.
Is Nick Bolton first?
He's going to be. It's going to be in the defense when we get there.
Okay.
And he's going to say some wonderful things about Nick Bolton, even though
whether you want to or not, Sam.
He made some plays. So let's start on the offense, okay?
Yeah.
15.
Orlando Brown.
He's got some work to do. I mean, I think that before the season we talked about, or at least I was talking about, I think the offensive line will be really, really good, but not early. And I think they'll have some moments. And I think Orlando Brown was good more than he was bad, but there was, I mean, Myles Garrett just, and Myles Garrett is a freak show. So if you give up a sack to Myles Garrett,
right,
whatever. But that was too easy and too quick. He just ran around
him. And I'm doing this because it's very easy to do this. We get caught up in, hey, for 4 hours we talked about Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill, and then that's it. And so I'm trying to get through.
You have any cost to back Nick Bolton for 4 hours.
If you have any comments, you
I'll keep them to myself.
No, I want you to bring them in. Jake, if you have any comments, because I'm trying to spread the commentary over some more players.
Okay. I thought Orlando Brown was pass for sure. It was fine.
Yeah.
I hear with Oklahoma, he's the best. Hey.
Well, no,
Jake.
He was Boomer Sooner.
He didn't get any personal fouls, so good. Well, that's good. Better than at Oklahoma.
Okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
You know what was interesting is we're sitting there in the post game, and Andy Reid, two or three different times,
was talking
about, yeah, we established the run, and that was good to see. And I was like, man, did I miss? Like
game you were at.
No. And I looked at the numbers, and okay, yeah, 14 carries, 43 yards.
None of them memorable.
No. He had the one up the middle, was it early in the second half, right? That was a nice run, 8-9 yards, whatever. I thought that there were a couple plays, and look, it's the easiest thing in the world to sit up in the press box behind a plate of nachos and do this, but there's one in particular where it looked like he might have had 12 yards if he bounced it outside, and he kept it in. So I don't know.
Is he still trying to sell us a first round draft pick?
I don't know. Yeah,
that would be Nate.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't. He wasn't terrible. He didn't fumble. There wasn't a blown
pass
protection.
The game, our quarterback had the longest run of the game of 8 yards.
Yeah.
Until he busted that one for the first down that you're talking about. But that's the only memorable run that he had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. I guess he's going to go as the offensive line goes in a lot of ways, right? And that was not what they expect or are planning on, but I'm not going to bury him right now.
I will put them all together because a lot of talk was focused on these three gentlemen and who's going to step up. And so let's just talk about them as a group. Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle.
Not much there.
They suited up.
Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson.
Will DeMarcus Robinson move forward after catching the football this year?
TBD.
So Sam McDowell's got this great story about at a practice he was at. there was this play where DeMarcus Robinson makes a pretty nice catch, like right on the sideline, you know, like barely, you know, toe tap kind of deal. And as soon as he caught it, Bieniemy screaming, "Upfield, go upfield!" it's just so ingrained in all of them that even on that play, that's what they're telling him to do.
Hasn't caught on yet.
No. Do you think that they got Mike Remmers enough touches?
Yeah. Look, a lot of these plays it was the smoke sausage play.
Yeah.
And last year, that in Baltimore?
Now.
See, now you just made me hungry. I would love to have some smoked sausage with some eggs or something right now.
Nobody was like, oh, Andy's getting too cute because it worked. And now it didn't work and Andy's getting too cute.
I think the danger of that is you're putting the ball in someone's hand. He got hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe not – could be a fumble coming. This is not someone who's used to doing this.
Yeah.
I kept calling for him to come in and throw the ball later. I thought, is Rimmers coming in? I'd like him to pass. I don't know.
My thought on that was first and goal from the three, I believe, when they ran that play. And my thought was, you just got you got yourself five new offensive linemen.
Let's use them
tough, you know, for this situation. If you don't think you can run the ball three times and get a touchdown in that situation, we got bigger problems.
Well, it turns out they end up scoring on that drive on Mahomes. I don't think we've even mentioned Mahomes' touchdown run.
What was terrific.
It was a magic trick.
It was
there
crazy.
Was no way he was going to get in the end zone.
And his personal trainer, Bobby Stroop, did you see
him?
You
laughing at me now?
Yeah, everyone's laughing about the tag drill. Did you see that drill where he's kind of playing tag? And it looked like that drill.
I don't think anyone talked about that even in the post-game pressers. No one asked. And just after you said that, I said, they ended up scoring on that drive, not because they called some amazing play, because Patrick Mahomes just ran around back there and weaved in and out of people. And they really needed a seven there, not six.
It was a magic trick. There's no way a human being does not score on that play. That was crazy.
To run just that much faster than whatever defender's chasing him.
Yep, that's
his
speed.
It's just unbelievable.
Yep.
Something I did like, a new wrinkle that I was a huge fan of. Now, let me say this. I would move forward and I put that out of my mind. I would not. Oh, boy. I'd be okay if they decided to use Patrick Mahomes in a quarterback sneak situation, because I think it'll never happen again, but whatever. But you know what I loved? I loved the Blake Bell quarterback sneak.
That's a great idea.
I love that. And so if you're not going to, if you said to yourself, I'm never going to put Mahomes in that situation again, Blake Bell, Oklahoma, there's so much Oklahoma on this
All
show.
All this is Sooners.
He's a quarterback. He's a big body. I loved that play for short yardage.
Yeah. No, same. And I'm also interested in what the wrinkle is when they run this, like, in week five.
He's going to throw it at some point.
Yeah, I'm curious what that's
like. We always thought that at Oklahoma, but he never did.
What I did not love was the play that preceded that. Am I crazy? Or did Mecole Hardman just run out of bounds before getting the first down?
I don't think it was a great spot, but...
There was a...
I feel like he could have done just a touch more to get the first down there.
Like,
no,
he could have got to the
sticks. Ran out of bounds, short of the sticks. But, and this is what it just looked like live and on a replay or two in the press box, but I'd want to look at it again before saying for sure. But it looked like, because that was on the
Chiefs sideline.
Yes, on the Chiefs sideline. And the official marker is on the Browns sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
maybe it was
they
off.
Weren't even. And I think there's a chance that he got past what looked like the first down marker on one side.
He's kind of jumping out of bounds over it.
It was a goofy-looking play.
Yeah, it was weird-looking.
Yeah.
Chris Jones.
I mean, he was like the story of the defense, right? Like, there wasn't much going on in the first half. And then he was the best – well, other than the quarterback, right? I mean, he was the best player on the field. When he was on the field, he was the best player on the field. I thought he was – dominant in the second half when they needed him, and in that spot too. Frank Clark's not active, obviously. Tyrann Mathieu, not a pass rusher, obviously, but sort of the heart and soul of that group. And you know, for him to come through like that, I think is that's what guys with that contract, that's what superstars are supposed to do, is play like it in that situation. It's exactly what he did.
Nick Bolton.
Yeah, there we go.
Steven likes Nick Bolton. I don't know if you knew this, Sam.
I thought he was really good, man, especially like near the goal line, making plays.
First time out, too.
They put him in some coverages a few times, which I don't know if that's how you don't want him covering slot receivers necessarily, but you know, he can get you by for a few seconds.
But the play where he gets the stop and he gets up and just, you know,
yeah.
I saw it, Mizzou, give me some emotion.
It's another shot of espresso here from Steve.
Yeah, but still, didn't that fire anyone up out there? You were watching Nick Bolton. That's what they needed at that point.
It was, you know, it doesn't, I feel like when we have these expectations for guys, you know, it's probably more often than not that it takes longer than we think or hope or whatever. And
this was the case last year with Willie Gay.
Willie Gay.
Why
isn't
Willie Gay out there?
Yep.
What was he doing? Well, I think we know now he didn't know what he was doing.
Yep. And
it seems like Nick Bolton is the least trusted. Now, maybe it's because there was injuries and he had to go play.
But that was also, that was a lot for a rookie in his first game in that kind of game to go up against.
Yeah. Against, and you know, that offensive line.
Yeah, and those running backs, yes.
That coaching staff, they're creative. That's a really good group. And, I mean, Nick Bolton, like, we know athletically, right? But I think that plays like that don't happen week one as a rookie unless you're really smart, you know? And you've got some brains, and you put the work in to back that up. And I think that's what we expected, right? But it's cool to see. I mean, he led the team in tackles, right?
And somebody that needed to step up, and I'm so happy that he made some big plays, Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, absolutely. The big pass breakup there toward the end of the game. And
force a fumble?
Yeah. It looked live. I thought Hitchens got it. But,
well,
they gave it to Thornhill.
I'll credit
sure
Thornhill right now
shot in
for
late.
The purposes of this. But still, that breakup, he covers the receiver's eyes, then he strips the ball. That was a Tyrann Mathieu play, was
yeah,
it not?
Yeah, yeah. And to do it, I mean, I think that, you know, context matters. And when Tyrann's on the sideline in street clothes and a headset, you know, trying to do as best he can, they clearly missed him. God, they missed him. you know, I think we can see the effect that he right. has on a larger group.
I may have, if I was Tyrann Mathieu, I may have tried to find Brett Veach at yeah. halftime. Say, let's talk about this contract real quick. Let's have some negotiations.
But, you know, I think for Thornhill, it seems like armchair psychology, take it for what it's worth, but sometimes it seems like the confidence isn't always there when he's on the field. And I just wonder, and some of that's physical, right, the knee. But I wonder what making plays like that without Tyrann Mathieu on the field in a game like that
huge.
Can do for him. Yeah.
Huge. As Gary Pink will say, mammoth. We will jumbo. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Listen, I get a credit to Veach and Spagnuolo. We brought in guys this offseason, and we got a group of guys that's able to step up when the adversity faces us, especially in critical situations. We got 2-1, who is a new guy on the team who ended the game. And we got one who we fully believe in. We got Dan Sorensen, we got Snead, and we got Trey Five. And those guys I fully believe in. We fully believe in them as a defense and as a team, and to step up when adversity faces us. Spagnuolo.
Do you have any... Sam, do you have any comments about Spagnuolo?
I'm just glad the Clarks brought him in.
That's right.
Chris Jones was interesting last night, man. Like, he comes in a Reggie White jersey.
The Clark family.
Spagnuolo.
I talked to the Clarks.
So, yeah, I deeply apologize to the Clarks and, you know, my teammates and guys.
Which one? Which one?
The Clarks.
That one.
That's Tyreek Hill.
No, that's Jamal Charles, isn't it?
Is that Jamal Charles?
Yeah, I think I talked to the Clarks.
That's Jamal Charles. Remember. There's so many of them.
Do we have the Tyreek Hill?
That's from his
video.
His hype video.
Yeah. No, I don't have that
you
one.
Got that one.
But this is Jamal Charles for sure.
I talked to the Clarks.
The original's Debo.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, apologize to the Clarks for giving up all the stories about importing women on the road.
Apologize to the Clarks.
No, that's not what he was talking about. That was for Sonic Stop.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was for the...
I thought it was importing.
Nope.
I thought it was the importing...
That was the Sonic Stop.
It's so hard to tell with Debo.
I remember because Stephen and I were out there covering that. And then,
And the Clarks. Anyway, Chris Jones.
Sonic.
Yeah.
He
was pretty low-key when he walked in.
He was super subdued. And he gets like that after games. Like, you don't get... There's nothing 2-9... post game with Chris Jones. He's either 1 or he's a 10 on the spectrum. And, you know, either super hyped up and, you know, like a hype man or more like we had last night.
That's how he was Thursday, too. Yeah. He was kind of like chill in the
just business.
Presser, yeah.
But I thought, you know, like he comes in Reggie White jersey, which I thought he was asked about it. He didn't say this, but I thought it was kind of an obvious, you know, he's a defensive end now sometimes. I thought that's what he was doing there. He's big on listing names. If you ask him, you know, he wants to list some names, and he's like the artist, you know, except in the Emmy or the Grammy or whatever.
Mike Anderson talking about his basketball team, Phil Pressey.
But I mean, God, he can do whatever he wants in the post game if he plays like that. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a problem. He is an absolute problem. You can't use one guy. And
it seemed like it took him a little time to kind of figure out what he needed to do yesterday because there was no Frank Clark.
Yeah.
It was a different thing. It was his first time playing this position for a full game in Spagnuolo.
And also, like, the other team gets paid, right?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the best three offensive lines or whatever.
It probably helped
in the NFL.
They lost a tackle in the first half, too, on an injury. That couldn't hurt.
They lost the safety for pushing Chiefs coach in the... throat.
After getting assaulted by a Chiefs coach.
Right. Well, after stepping on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that
was wild. Pissed Jake off big time.
Okay, I got to ask you about two things about Andy Reid.
Yeah, man.
The first drive, 4th and 2 at the 10, I was very surprised he didn't go for it.
I always want to go for it.
I wish he'd go for it. I think he should go for it. Moving forward, please go for it.
Agree. Totally agree. Yes.
And I know it's a very small thing, but it could have been a big thing. Why didn't they call a timeout at the end of the half, because calling a timeout would have forced the Browns to punt, mm-hmm. and who knows, block a punt, get mm-hmm. a punt, whatever.
Maybe they just dropped the snap.
Right, but then by not calling a timeout, that allowed the Browns to have a Hail Mary attempt, and that got a little too close for comfort, but that was a little bit bizarre there.
Yeah, I thought it was a whiff. Yeah. I don't, and those post games happen pretty fast. He'll talk today, and maybe he'll be asked about that today. I don't know what the explanation is for that. Other, like, maybe just want to get the hell out of there. But like you said, Cleveland still could run that last play.
Yeah,
sort of
did.
Like the
you get the Cowboys.
The Hail Mary?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
the Cowboys tried that at the end of the game Thursday. Did you see their Hail Mary? It was just they had a wildcat, and they just started running and throwing it. Yeah. I think people are done with just throwing it down the field. They're trying to find new ways to do that. Yeah. And that was a pretty creative one by the Browns.
Yeah. Jacksonville State's not done just throwing it downfield at the end of games.
But, well, that was really good coverage on the goal line.
Anyway,
On fourth and two, would you have called smoke sausages to Remmers, though? Would that have been the play?
What a smart ass he is.
I think that the Chiefs just have, I mean, we've talked about it before, I just think that they are really well equipped to do those short yardages and do them in creative ways.
They've just got, they have some guys. You know, I don't even think they need to be super creative, honestly, with those. Just have Travis Kelce go turn around, and he's got a first down.
Yeah. In that situation, I'm not calling a run up the middle against how that defense was playing at that moment.
But they just need to kind of run regular offense.
They've got, and I also don't know, like, in the year 2021, why defensive coordinators aren't putting two guys on Kelce on every red zone snap.
How about a linebacker on him?
Yeah.
Does that work
or not? Our friend Nate Taylor was going nuts in the press box yesterday on that first touchdown. It's like, they've got to pay 6 yards off this guy. What are you going to do?
It's unbelievable. I don't get it. I get that, like, playing the Chiefs, there's a lot of stuff to worry about. But I feel like that should be number one on the list.
Yeah.
And don't forget
everything else after that.
Because the Chiefs scored 33 points, 33% off at all Kansas City area CBD American Shaman stores.
Mm.
Go Chiefs. Sam Mellinger, thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate
and I hope you print off the collage I took so much time to make and enjoy that.
Probably
and
won't color.
Hang that up in your home office to think of us.
I probably will not do that,
well,
but thank you.
That's Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star on Sports Radio 810 WHB.